content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Beth Yoder for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is your November flavor. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from a story from LATimes.com, and I have lots of good holiday information from, the October and November issues of Food Network magazine. But first up, I have cooking tips and tools for the blind and disabled. People with visual impairments and other disabilities can face challenges cooking, but a growing number of services, guides, and technologies can help make the kitchen a safe, accessible space. These resources offer visual recipes, tutorials, adaptive tool recommendations, and more to help more people discover and enjoy cooking. So these are your online resources. For safety tips, the Vision Aware website from the APH Connect Center offers a directory of services and articles for those with low vision or blindness and allows alteration of the site's contrast level and font for easier reading. Vision Aware published a free guide to safe cooking techniques, including tips on how to check a dish's doneness using senses other than sight, how to safely pour liquids, and how to measure ingredients effectively. Accessible Chef, one of the web's largest accessibility-minded cooking resources, Accessible Chef has offered visual recipes and other kitchen resources for more than a decade. The site's cooking tips, safety information, and videos are geared toward those with learning disabilities. Recipes, many of which are community submitted, include photos for each ingredient and step-by-step instructions for clarity. Blog posts address subjects such as adapting recipes that call for sharp knives. Kitchen tools. For those with impaired mobility, the Best Mobility Aids website offers product recommendations for nearly every room in the house, including the kitchen. Many of the adaptive tools and gadgets in this guide are designed to limit pressure on limbs and provide alternatives to a wide range of motion, such as right-angle knives, automatic stirrers, one-handed cutting boards, and bendable cutlery. Next up is Cookability. The UK-based United Response produced a free online video series, Cookability, providing visual step-by-step recipes designed for those with learning disabilities. The videos include United Response community members with learning disabilities and can be found on the nonprofit's YouTube channel. The videos are meant to be followed as they are watched, with gently pulsing red text indicating when to hit pause between steps. Dishes include easy mac and cheese, chow mein, cottage pie, chicken korma, chocolate truffles, and pancakes. Screen readers. For those with vision impairment, screen readers such as Cobra or Job Access with Speech and browser plugin Speechify can read aloud text from a website or digital cookbook. Screen readers range in cost, capability, and compatibility and can be used to read lines of text or entire web pages. Some are free and many are compatible with Braille displays. Most Apple products come equipped with a free screen reader called VoiceOver that reads virtual text and can be controlled via the keyboard. And for a helpful app, recipe scanners and label readers. If reading a cookbook is challenging, mobile apps with optical character recognition technology can help. The KNFB reader from the National Federation of the Blind uses a phone's camera to convert ingredient labels, book pages, and mobile websites to Braille or speaks them aloud to aid those with low vision, blindness, or dyslexia. If digitizing physical recipes is preferred, apps such as Cookbook and Whisk can scan a photo of a cookbook page and convert it to a digital recipe, which can be translated aloud with screen reader software. All right, let's start off with Sunday supper, the comfort food special. Sunday dinner has long held a special place in Michael Simon's heart. When the Food Network chef was a kid, he and his extended family would gather at 4 p.m. to feast on cavatelli with Sunday sauce, garlic bread, and Italian salad. It was where we talked about everything, he says. He also picked up some key skills. I was always in the kitchen helping. I did whatever my mother told me to. Now Michael and his wife Liz host similar meals with their son, daughter-in-law, grandkids, and friends at home in Long Island, New York. The number of people can go up to 25 or 30, no problem, says Michael. The chef is sharing some of his best family recipes and the stories attached to them. In his new book, Simply Simon Suppers, hearty dishes like this beef stew, chicken pot pie, and French onion soup are in heavy rotation during fall. Whip them up and start your own Sunday tradition. So, beef stew. You'll need 1/2 cup all-purpose flour, 1 teaspoon ground coriander, 1 teaspoon ground cumin, 1 teaspoon sweet paprika, 1/2 teaspoon cayenne pepper, kosher salt and freshly ground black pepper, 2 pounds beef chuck or brisket cut into 1.5-inch cubes, 1/3 cup extra virgin olive oil, 2 pounds mixed root vegetables such as celery root, carrots, or parsnips, peeled and roughly chopped, 1/4 cup tomato paste, 8 cups of beef stock, 1 pound baby Yukon Gold potatoes scrubbed, and 2 tablespoons of finely chopped fresh rosemary. In a large bowl, combine the flour, coriander, cumin, paprika, and cayenne. Season with a pinch of salt and twist of black pepper and whisk to combined. Season the beef on all sides with salt and pepper. Dredge the meat in the flour mixture, making sure to coat all sides well. Shake off the excess. Set a large Dutch oven over medium-high heat. Add the olive oil and heat to shimmering. Then arrange 1/2 of the beef in an even layer in the pot. Cook, turning occasionally, until well-browned on all sides, about 12 minutes. Transfer to a plate and repeat with the remaining beef. To the same Dutch oven, add the mixed root vegetables and a pinch of salt. Cook, stirring occasionally, until the vegetables soften and begin to brown, about 8 minutes. Add the tomato paste and cook, stirring occasionally, until the paste begins to darken, about 1 minute. Add the stock, potatoes, rosemary, beef, and any accumulated juices. Season with a pinch of salt and twist of pepper and bring to a boil. Reduce the heat to medium-low to maintain a gentle simmer and cook, partially covered, until the meat and vegetables are tender, about 1.5 hours. So the total time on this recipe is 2 hours, and it serves 6. Coming up from the Food Network magazine, they've included lots of different tips on getting started with your Thanksgiving dinner. So we're going to start off with yeast basics. Check the label. Make sure you use the type of yeast specified in the recipe. active dry yeast is not interchangeable with rapid rise or instant yeast. Look at the expiration date too. Expired yeast might not bloom. Use a thermometer. Liquid that's too hot will kill your yeast. If the liquid isn't hot enough, it won't activate the yeast. Check with a thermometer and aim for between 100 and 110 degrees. Look for activity. Once you combine active dry yeast with warm liquid, foam or bubbles should form within 5 to 10 minutes. If they don't, start over with new yeast. Watch your dough. Rising times can vary depending on the heat of your kitchen. Use the times in the recipe as a guide and follow visual cues for all the steps. How to measure flour. For the most accurate measurement, spoon flour into a dry measuring cup and then level it with a knife. If you pack it in, you'll end up with too much. Make a flavored butter to go with those breads and biscuits you'll be making with your yeast. Maple chipotle butter. Puree 1 stick of softened butter, 2 tablespoons of maple syrup, and 1 tablespoon of sauce from a can of chipotles in adobo. And for a sweet curry butter, puree 1 stick of softened butter, 3 tablespoons of mango chutney, and 2 teaspoons of roasted curry powder. Let's talk turkey. How much do you need? Plan on at least 1 to 1.5 pounds of turkey per person. You'll still have leftovers. How to thaw a frozen turkey? Here's the fridge method. This is the best method, but a large bird can take a few days. Set the bird in its packaging on a rimmed baking sheet and thaw in the fridge. You'll need 24 hours for every 4 to 5 pounds. And then this is the cold water method. To thaw the same day, submerge the bird in its packaging in a large pot or cooler of cold water and change the water every 30 minutes. Thawing will take 2 to 3 hours for every 5 pounds. And then moving on, how to carve that turkey. Slice through the skin between the leg and body on one side. Pull the leg away from the body, then cut through the joint to remove the leg. Separate the drumstick from the thigh. Locate the joint in the middle of the leg and cut through it. Working on the same side, pull the wing away from the body and cut through the joint to remove it. Remove the leg and wing on the other side. Remove the breasts by slicing downward along the breastbone, following the curve of the ribs on each side. And finally, place each breast on the board, skin side up, and slice. How about some stuffing? Stuffing is America's favorite Thanksgiving food. Do you cook your stuffing inside the bird? 28% said yes, 72% no. Check the temp. If you're stuffing your turkey, the stuffing temperature should reach 165 degrees for food safety. How to dry the bread. Stale bread is best for stuffing. If yours is fresh, cut it into cubes and spread out the cubes on baking sheets to dry overnight, or bake in a 350-degree oven for 15 to 20 minutes. And here's some make-ahead Q&A. Can you assemble stuffing the night before? Yes, but the best and safest option is to bake it ahead too, then reheat it the next day. To crisp the top, dot with butter or drizzle with turkey drippings, then reheat in the oven. How far in advance can you stuff the turkey? Stuff the turkey cavity when you're ready to roast the bird. You shouldn't stuff it in advance. And then, can you freeze stuffing? Yes. Assemble the stuffing, but don't bake it. Then cover with plastic wrap and foil and freeze for up to 3 months. No need to thaw before baking. Just be sure to remove the plastic and tack on some extra baking time. Then next up, we've got cranberries. A brief history. This holiday staple long predates Thanksgiving. Members of the Wampanoag tribe of Gay Head have been harvesting Sassumanuish sour berries on Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, for thousands of years, using them to flavor and preserve meat, dye textiles, and prevent illness. The berries are still an important part of the culture today. Tribe members celebrate Cranberry Day in the fall. And here's a pop quiz. Where do cranberries grow? A, on trees. B, on bushes. C, on vines. The answer is C, on vines. And then we're divided. 49% of readers like jellied cranberry sauce. 51% prefer whole berry. I'm a whole berry person myself. So here's a recipe for jellied cranberry pomegranate sauce. You'll need 1 pound of fresh or frozen cranberries, 1.5 cups of sugar, 1 cup of pomegranate juice, 2 wide strips of orange zest plus the juice of 1 orange, 2 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice, a pinch of ground cloves, kosher salt, pomegranate seeds, and orange segments for garnish. First, combine 1/2 cup of water, the cranberries, sugar, pomegranate juice, orange zest and juice, lemon juice, ground cloves, and a couple of pinches of salt in a medium saucepan. Bring to a boil. Then reduce the heat and simmer, stirring occasionally until the cranberries burst and the sauce thickens, 15 to 20 minutes. If there are any berries that haven't burst after 10 minutes, gently mash them with a rubber spatula. Discard the orange zest from the sauce, then transfer the sauce to a blender and puree until smooth. Strain through a fine mesh sieve into a 4-cup serving bowl. If you plan to unmold the jelly, coat the bowl with cooking spray first. Tap the bowl gently on the counter to flatten the jelly and get rid of any air bubbles. Press a piece of plastic wrap directly onto the surface and refrigerate until firmly set, at least 3 hours. Serve the sauce out of the bowl or unmold onto a platter. Garnish with pomegranate seeds and orange segments. Also from the November issue of Food Network magazine, my favorite side dish, mashed potatoes, but this has a twist, roasted garlic mashed potatoes, and this serves 6 to 8. 1 head of garlic, extra virgin olive oil for drizzling, kosher salt and freshly ground pepper, 3 pounds of russet or Yukon Gold potatoes cut into chunks, 1.5 sticks, which is 12 tablespoons of unsalted butter cut into cubes at room temperature, 1 cup of milk or 1/2 and 1/2, warmed, finely chopped fresh parsley for topping. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees. Slice off about 1 inch of the pointed top of the garlic head, exposing the cloves. Place on a sheet of foil and drizzle with olive oil. Season with salt and pepper. Tightly wrap the garlic in the foil. Place on a rimmed baking sheet and roast until soft, 35 to 40 minutes. When cool enough to handle, unwrap the garlic head and squeeze out the cloves into a small bowl. Mash thoroughly. During the last 15 minutes of roasting, put the potatoes in a large pot. Cover with water by 1 inch and season generously with salt. Bring to a boil, then reduce to simmer and cook until tender, 12 to 15 minutes. Drain, then return to the pot and mash. Stir the butter and roasted garlic into the potatoes until the butter is melted. Gradually stir in the warm milk and season with salt and pepper. Transfer to a serving bowl and top with parsley. Here's some food news. The pie chart is changing. 10 years ago, when we first polled readers about their favorite Thanksgiving pie, more than half chose pumpkin, a quarter voted for apple, and a little less for pecan. We opened the polls again and found that pecan and apple are gaining steam. 43% said pumpkin pie, 27% pecan, 30% said apple pie. Maybe you were getting our fill from all those pumpkin spice treats. Barbecue chicken wings are officially the fastest growing item on restaurant menus in the U.S. The appetizer surged 373% this year, thanks to trendy versions like Carolina Gold and Korean barbecue wings. You can serve your next pasta dinner with an art history lesson on the side. The Metropolitan Museum of Art has collaborated with pasta company DiMartino on a limited edition tin featuring designs from 16th century Italian pottery in the Met's collection. A box comes with a pound each of linguine, tortelloni, elicoidali, frizzine, bucatini, and penne, and a portion of the $65 price goes to the museum. The tins are sold at the Met store and at pastadimartino.com. Liquid gold. Did you get your olive oil today? A new study that tracked participants' health for 28 years shows that consuming at least half a tablespoon of olive oil daily could reduce the risks of severe dementia. Wake up and smell the turkey. It's a myth that the tryptophan will make you sleepy. Very nice. Smile if you love cranberries. The tart fruit is high in compounds that fight the bacteria that cause tooth decay. Good seeds. Pomegranate seeds add a pretty pop of color to salads and some extra health benefits, too. The jewel-like fruit is loaded with antioxidants, and studies suggest that eating the seeds or drinking the juice may help reduce the effects of inflammatory diseases like rheumatoid arthritis and cardiovascular disorders. How sweet it is. Add sweet potatoes. The orange veggies are packed with dietary fiber, potassium, vitamin C, B6, and antioxidants, nutrients that can help improve digestion, eyesight, and brain function. If you plan to serve shrimp as an appetizer for your Thanksgiving meal, how to prep it? Follow these steps to peel and devein. Using kitchen shears, snip through the back of the shell, being careful not to cut into the flesh. Crack open the shell and remove the shrimp. Keep the tail on if you like. Remember, the vein is its digestive tract. Using a paring knife, score along the line on the shrimp's back and pull out the strand with the tip of the knife. Pick up some pasta in the freezer aisle. Frozen cavatelli, usually made with ricotta, is one of our go-tos for weeknight meals. It's very different from the dried stuff. Frozen cavatelli is soft and pillowy when cooked and tastes more like gnocchi than regular pasta. Good gear. We always prefer freshly grated cheese over the pre-shredded stuff, but soft cheeses like fontina and mozzarella can be hard to grate. To make the job easier, freeze the cheese for 30 minutes, then shred it on the large holes of a box grater. Horseradish. We love the tangy, punchy bite of jarred horseradish. It's grated horseradish roots that's preserved in vinegar and salt, and it may be the most intense condiment in your pantry. Use it to make quick sour cream sauce. Try that sauce with potatoes or roasted meat, or use it as a salad dressing. Some more for your health. Small wonders. Next time you're buying seafood, go for small fish or mollusks. Fish and seafood that are low on the food chain are often high in protein and micronutrients like zinc and vitamin B12. Plus, they're generally more sustainable choices than larger fish. Beet me. Beet salad could help keep your blood pressure in check. Beets are naturally high in nitrates, which the body converts to nitric oxide, a compound that improves blood flow. Pick up some vacuum-packed pre-cooked beets at the grocery store or cook some fresh ones. It's prime beet season. Eat your Brussels sprouts. They're considered one of the top 10 most nutrient-dense vegetables. Big love for lentils. Lentils deserve some attention. The millennia-old legumes are packed with protein and contain more iron than steak. They require minimal water to grow, and they fertilize the soil, so they're environmentally friendly, too. Food for thought. Fermented foods are often praised for being good for the gut, but turns out they may be good for your brain, too. Almost all the fermented foods analyzed in a new study contained compounds that could have positive effects, according to preliminary findings. Thin mints are for sprinkling, too. Girl Scouts have turned their number one cookie into a minty, dark cocoa seasoning, and fans are trying it on everything. Milkshakes, cupcakes, dips, and more. It's sold at Walmart, HEB, Albertsons, and Meijer, and it just arrived at Kroger. Or it's $6, and you can go to bgfoods.com for buying information. We've run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mary Beth Yoder, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service and your November edition of Flavor. Have a great Thanksgiving.